How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. I'm Jay King. John Corrales, my co-host, can't join us tonight, but we're going to be joined by special guest Chris Forsberg. I would give him a big old introduction, but he doesn't really need one. Celtics fans know him. He's a beat writer for ESPN. He does great stuff, always informative, always well-researched, always really, really good. So we actually have Celtics news to talk about, sort of. There was some Colton Iverson chatter. Doc Rivers denied Blake Griffin rumors. Doc Rivers said that if Paul Pierce retires, the Clippers plan to let him do it after signing a one-day contract with the Celtics. So, yeah, there's a little bit of stuff to talk about. And then we're going to talk about something to keep in mind for the future, something salary cap related that the Celtics will have to keep tabs on in a situation that could have serious impacts on what the Celtics do in the future. So without further ado, here is Chris Forsberg from ESPN Boston. All right, we're here with Chris Forsberg now, one of the great ones. From ESPN. Really appreciate you coming on, Chris. Thanks for taking the time. Always one of the best stops for Celtics fans. We all know that. Nobody needs me to tell that to him. Let's get right into it. Doc Rivers goes on the Vertical podcast today and basically dismisses all the Blake Griffin rumors. Did you take anything from that?
I am stunned. Wait. The rumors were fake? Are you kidding me? I'm stunned. I am stunned right now. I think we all knew that it was probably a lot more smoke than actual fire with these rumors. And I know a lot of us had some fun with it because, again, I go back to it. Like, Celtics fans are so eager for a deal that, like, some random Twitter egg can say, hey, Heron, there's a deal in the works. And people just dive all over it and they believe it. And even when it gets shot down, people are like, well, you know, maybe they're making that move. Maybe the Clippers just signed Brandon Bass. Maybe they're adding another power forward so they can make a deal. And, like, people just look everywhere to try and believe these things. But, listen, this is what's going to happen. The Celtics have so many assets. They're going to be in every trade speculation, every trade whisper. I'm not surprised to learn that Doc is trying to diminish it. Now, if you want to play a little bit skeptical, we can say, well, of course he's saying that because you're not going to come right out and say, yeah, we were shopping one of our primary players. But nothing in this entire process had led me to believe that this is anything more than just speculation because the Celtics have so many assets.
Yeah, what was probably most revealing to me about that whole interview, maybe not the whole interview, but Adrian Wojnarowski came out and said, I have not spoken to a single team that believes Blake Griffin is available after talking to the Los Angeles Clippers. So if you don't believe Doc Rivers, maybe you will believe the Mr. Wojbomb, Adrian Wojnarowski himself, who came out and reported that nobody in the entire NBA believes that Blake Griffin is available. So
I'm stunned the car salesman was wrong.
Hey, man. Car salesman can get stuff right, too. So, yeah, we'll move on from the Blake Griffin talk. He's going to be a free agent next year. Maybe the Celtics go after him then. For the dreamers out there.
And we've said that all along. Like, people, I always tell people to rewind to February when it was the trade deadline. We heard rumors about the Celtics were interested in Al Horford, but that they didn't want to give up assets because they figured that they'd have a decent shot to go get him this summer. Well, what happened? So, like, if the Celtics had given up, and I don't care if it was, like, not even a whole lot, but even if they had given up Terry Rozier and a future Brooklyn pick to go get Al Horford in February, well, it looks a lot better now that they were patient. Like, I keep stressing this throughout this whole process. A lot of these guys that people are lusting over should be available next summer. If Kevin Durant is giving you the time of day this summer, then there's a very good chance that you can at least talk someone into coming to Boston next year, and you don't have to give up any of these assets, which makes you a more sustained contender. I know patience is very difficult for Celtics fans, especially when you feel like you're on the cusp, but I just feel like it's the best path for this team.
I feel like part of the reason why patience is so tough is because the Celtics are in every single rumor. It's like every single big name that is potentially available, not even really available, but potentially available, they're linked to, whether it's Jimmy Butler, Blake Griffin, Russell Westbrook. You can go up and down the line, and it's just like the Celtics are always involved in talks. And it's because that's just what they do, and it's because they have so many assets. Whenever there is a big name with a situation that could be a little dicey, whether it's Russell Westbrook and him potentially becoming a free agent next year, or Blake Griffin in the same thing, then the Celtics are always there with the assets, and they're just a realistic suitor. And so,
I feel bad for the organization, because you look at something like draft night where, you know, ultimately they decide to hang on to the pick. Poor Jaylen Brown. Fans aren't booing him. They're booing the fact that all this hype in the hours leading up to the days leading up to the draft, and then nothing. You know, it's unfortunate that people's first reaction is to, like, get upset about that. You just got to go back to it. You know, fans have to trust that Danny Ainge knows what he's doing. I think it's fair to say that he's as eager as anyone to make a deal, and they're gonna continue to look for these type of deals. But you don't just, you know, mortgage your entire what you've spent years building just because, you know, you're adamant or you're eager to do something.
Yeah. So moving on from Blake Griffin now.
Moving on.
One other thing Doc Rivers said on that podcast was that if Paul Pierce retires this summer, which still seems like an option based on what Rivers was saying, then the Clippers have a plan to let him do it as a Celtic. I thought that was a cool thing. I'm not really surprised by it, because Pierce has said in the past that's something that interests him. But it's a pretty cool thing, I think, that if he does retire, the Clippers at least are want him to do so with the Boston Celtics.
And I'm sure we'll hear a rumor that if Pierce does come out and say he's going to retire, that someone will say, well, maybe he's just swerving them and he's going to sign a 1-year deal with the Celtics. But it is pretty cool, right? Like, I think it's a little bit, you know, not overdone in sports, but it is cool to see these guys kind of retire with the teams they're forever linked to. And it's only right that Pierce comes home eventually. And it will only lay the groundwork for him to eventually be, like, special assistant to Mike Zarin in the Celtics front office.
Yeah, and he's always talked about wanting to go back to Boston, whether it's owning a restaurant or being in the front office, maybe being a coach, like some tie to the organization and the city, because he just really appreciated his time there, and he loves Boston, and that's really a part of him at this point. When you said it's always nice when people retire with the team that they're most linked to, I thought it was so funny that Amari Stoudemire signed with the New York Knicks to retire.
Like, as I'm saying it, I'm thinking that, I mean, that's part of the reason I said it, right? It doesn't make any sense that he retired as a Knick. Sure, he had, like, what, one good year there? It's a little bit baffling that he would not do the one-day thing with the Suns, but what can you do?
It's like he won 4 championships with the Knicks and decided to go back to it. Meanwhile, he had, like 3 quarters of a good season? and then kind of fell off a little bit after that. That was weird to me.
What would be the most ridiculous person to sign a 1-day contract with the Celtics to retire? Like Rashid, or I don't know. Like, I mean, they wouldn't allow Mark Blount to sign a 1-day contract ever again. But there's someone, like, we could have fun with that. We'd have to put some time and effort into that. But you could come up with, like, one person that would be just hilarious to
What
to
about,
think about
active players? Joe Johnson?
he was here for one day, so him, that would actually make sense.
Double his time with the Celtics with an honorary one-day contract.
Jeff Green will definitely sign a one-day contract and pledge to that this is the year he turns it around.
Yeah, although that'll probably be after like Doc Rivers convinces himself two more times that Jeff Green is the answer. Good times, man. Good times. Okay, so there was also some Colton Iverson chatter today. So
I can't believe this is where our summer has gotten to. Like,
this is it, man.
We have gone through every possible Celtics rumor, and we're back to Colton Iverson.
Colton Iverson. Okay, so there was a report from David Pick that Colton Iverson has agreed to a training camp deal with the Boston Celtics. I received word pretty adamantly that there is no such agreement. It would almost make sense for him to join the Celtics for training camp, just because that would be a way to get out of the team's control.
Sure.
Like, accept the non-guaranteed deal, go to training camp, get waived, and then his NBA career is he's free. He doesn't have to be controlled by the Celtics anymore. And he doesn't have to be with a team that hardly has any roster space. Do you see that as a realistic possibility at all for him to start the Celtics training camp?
The only way I could see it as a realistic possibility is if the Celtics are confident that if there would be another team out there that would take his deal in return for, I don't know, either cash or the second round pick they spend to get him. Like, the Celtics probably understand just as well as he does that finding a spot for him in the next 5 years, it doesn't seem likely. I mean, they've got 27 rookies trying to vie for the 15th spot already. There's really no room for Colton to muscle his way in here. And so, you know, unless there's another team out there that, like, calls the Celtics and says, hey, we'd be interested in him, we might pay you $1 million or give you another second round pick, then I could see him doing it, because then you could throw a guarantee his way and you're still going to make money in the end, or at least you get an asset back. But unless they were convinced that that was a possibility, or if they were just genuinely wanting to give him a chance to compete and then just go the separate ways, I think would be unlikely. It just seems weird that, you know, Colton didn't even stick around for summer league last year when they had, you know, that glut of big men. I can't imagine that he'd be interested in coming back for a overstocked training camp.
Yeah. I mean, Tyler Zeller looks like he won't be in the regular rotation. Like, if I were formulating a depth chart right now, Tyler Zeller wouldn't be in it. So there's very, very little room for a guy like Colton Iverson, even though he had a great year in Turkey last year. I just don't see him making the team. And to me, the only reason he would want to do that, again, is to free himself up. But yeah, we're at the Colton Iverson stage of the summer. It arrived a little late this year.
Yeah, it's months overdue. And the other thing with Colton is he's making good money overseas. Like, there comes a time when a player should probably just take. You see someone like Malcolm Miller going and signing overseas now. The money's better over there for those fringe NBA guys. Until the league figures out a way to keep those guys in the D League and give them a more viable path to the NBA, it's probably better for them to make those paydays. But what do we do now? Do we go on Cody Clark watch, or like who's left to monitor this summer?
Yeah, now that Malcolm Miller's gone, Corey Walden watch?
Ooh, Corey Walden watch. Can I admit, like, I was watching when we got back from Vegas, and I was watching, like, the last couple games that we weren't out there for, and I said, wait, Corey Walden was part of the Summer League team? Like, I didn't even know he was there.
We've got to be on Nader watch, too, obviously.
Yeah, oh, that's right. No, that's true. That can be all of August, though. That's a big deal. People are hyped.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is. I mean, that is probably the biggest Celtics news left, right? Naderade.
Yeah, unless someone comes up with another fake trade rumor, we're left with Nader.
Or unless Russell Westbrook decides not to sign that contract extension, and then things might get a little dicey over there.
What would happen? Like, Oklahoma City would just fold, right? Like, what would they do?
Move back to Seattle, man. It's about time Seattle gets a franchise back.
Well, Isaiah Thomas, we get two birds, one stone. He gets to play with another all-star and send his team back to Seattle.
Ooh. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be it. IT, very excited. All right. Thank you for coming on, Chris. We appreciate your time.
Talking, We used to want to talk renegotiations. I led you right in.
Oh yeah, I forgot. What, I forgot the real reason I brought you on. The real reason I want to talk to you.
Come on.
Thank God I have you, man. See,
that's why I'm here. That's
why you're one of the heroes, man. All right, so you brought this up in a recent piece, and it's something I hadn't really even thought about. It's so far into the future, but something that really makes
sense. It's really not, though. That's the crazy part. It's like it's next summer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it feels so far away because we're mired in those Blake Griffin trade rumors, man.
But, you can only wade through the Colton Iverson stuff when the Isaiah Thomas extension just seems ages away.
Yeah, so to tell us a little bit about the Isaiah Thomas situation.
Right. Okay. So the really easy way to think of this is you don't see a lot of extensions in the NBA because there's just no real reason for a team to explore it unless they're trying to lock down a player long term. And typically, you know, it benefits the player to get to free agency anyway. But because guys like Isaiah Thomas, guys like Jay Crowder have signed such team-friendly deals, if the Celtics have cap space next summer, Isaiah will hit the third anniversary of his contract. And contracts of 4 years or longer can be renegotiated. And essentially, it's renegotiated in terms of they can't come down. Like, no one ever takes less money or unless it's a buyout. And so the Celtics can explore giving him up to a max contract and extending out his deal, starting with that essentially after the third anniversary, so the fourth season. So we fully expect the Celtics to have cap space. You know, the prevailing notion has been they've got this young core locked up under reasonable money. They're going to be able to pursue another max free agent. Well, the sort of the wrinkle and what will become a bigger storyline probably at some point this season is that Isaiah is going to be one who will be eligible. If I'm remembering right, I think Avery Bradley will be the third anniversary this summer, or next summer. So he'll be eligible for an extension. And no, there's no saying that the Celtics have to do these, but if you want to beat the rush to make sure you keep these guys, you know, we heard Wick talking about it with the Durant meeting that they're committed to keeping this core together. Then there's going to be the possibility that they'll use some of their available resources to extend these guys and inflate their kind of bargain basement salaries. The question becomes, you know, how much do you bump these guys up and at what level are they okay with it while still maintaining enough room to go pursue that other max contract free agent or next superstar or whatever. It just adds a little bit of layer of difficulty or intrigue to the whole process. It's been pretty easy up to this point, but these inflated salaries, like, you know, it's Jay Crowder and Isaiah Thomas are saying all the right things right now, but to go through a year in which Tyler Zeller is going to make more money than you, you know, you feel like at some point it's going to become an issue.
Yeah, and it is crazy. It's just a year away. And obviously the Celtics have lined things up to keep as much cap flexibility as possible with the hopes of attracting another maximum contract guy. And now, as you said, the extension stuff is just another layer to it. And it's going to be really intriguing to see what happens with that, because if those guys want a lot of money and make an issue out of it, then it could be a deal. And they deserve a lot of money because the way contracts are going, you know, Evan Turner just got 4 years, $75 million. How much does Isaiah Thomas deserve, you know?
Exactly. And I think that's just why it's going to be on Danny Ainge and the front office. They're going to have to sell hard to these guys like, hey, you guys being under reasonable deals is giving us the flexibility to go pursue these guys to put together a legitimate contender. But we all know, you know, at the end of the day, guys want theirs. And again, they're saying all the right things now. I don't think this season it will become an issue, but you know, next summer, it's definitely, if we're seeing more of these ridiculous contracts with the cap going up, only natural for these guys to kind of wonder where theirs is coming from. And, you know, as I've started to think about it, you know, it does make you wonder if one of these guys won't be here long term. Like, if you're the Celtics and you know you've got a ton of tough decisions about these guys coming up, you know, at some point you do have to move on. And so maybe the expectation is one of those guys is gone as part of a bigger trade eventually. You know, it goes back to you don't want to give up much of your core if you're building this thing up, and how long it's a luxury right now to have those guys at the right number. The Celtics got to kind of figure out how they can maybe give those guys a little bit of a boost, still leave enough money. What it really tells me is that is, again, how valuable these draft picks they have are, because until the CBA gets renegotiated and until those rookie contract values start skyrocketing, at least at a level comparable to like where the cap is, I mean, you're getting guys at 1% of the cap right now. You know, I mean, Jaylen Brown's going to account for, what, 4% of the cap next season. Like, those are ridiculously good deals while these players are young. It's going to become a little bit more difficult as they reach the age and level of play where they demand superstar money.
As always, the lesson is building a really good team is super, super complicated. You have to account for a million factors, and then sometimes there's unpredictable stuff like Avery, how much is Avery Bradley and Isaiah Thomas? How much are those guys going to want? Are they going to be amenable? Are they going to be okay with the fact that, okay, maybe if we don't ask for much more money, then they can really build the team around us? And who knows? Who knows what will happen? I thought it was interesting during Jay Crowder's chat with you that he said all the right things, like I'm making $7 million a year, man. Like, don't feel sorry for me. But he also pointed to the day or the time when he can renegotiate his contract. Like, he already has the date circled almost.
It was hilarious because I was like, you know, he's like, hey, my next contract's coming soon. I'm like, coming soon? You just signed a 5-year deal. He's like, 2 years. We can renegotiate. You know, like he knew like the date, like the time, the hour he could call. All these guys know when it's time to potentially cash in. And hey, give. I guess I'd feel the same way as if I was in their position and seeing, you know, Evan Turner. I hate for Evan Turner to be the poster child because he's probably worth it. There's a lot worse contracts out there, but people are seeing that money and they're just waiting. As Isaiah told us in Vegas, you know, they better be. He was joking when he said they better be ready to back up the Brinks truck, but he was kind of half joking. He's ready for his payday as well.
Yeah, and it's crazy because if the Celtics don't have any cap space, they cannot renegotiate with those guys. So
that's the one way, and I'll throw that wrinkle out there. Like, if you're a part of this, the conspiracy theorists who think they're definitely going to make a trade, there is some logic to that. Like, go out and get yourself your other max player at some point this season, tie up your cap space so that you already got those guys on there. Then you can go to Jay Crowder or Avery Bradley next summer and say, well, sorry, you know, can't do it, but at least we still have this great team, and you hope they're okay with it. And then, you know, those, if you sign the right superstar, then you're maxed out and over the cap for the foreseeable future, even as this cap continues to grow, whatever happens. And then, you know, you get to 2 summers from now and you tell Jay Crowder, hey, sorry, same deal, don't have the space, but, you know, sit tight, we'll try to figure this out. And then you could still try to figure it out with, like, overpaying these guys via bird rights. I mean, you got to think they're going to be up into the luxury tax again eventually here. But that's why Zarin and Ainge get paid the big bucks. They got to crunch these numbers and figure out how it all works. I'm sure Zarin's got some crazy chart, like straight up till 2025 about like projected cap numbers and how many guys you can fit in here and how it's all going to work. Like we said, we have a hard enough time trying to figure out if the Celtics are, have the space to renounce Gigi Datome or not. So we'll leave that heavy lifting to them and hopefully they can guide us along.
Yep. So we started off this podcast putting out the trade rumors. We ended it kind of stoking him a little bit, stoking that a little bit. So we've gone through the whole trade rumor cycle. Thank you seriously for coming on, Chris. This time we're actually done. I don't have anything else I want to talk to you about. You have fulfilled your duties here. I really appreciate you coming on, man.
Thanks, man. We'll do it again soon.
All right, so that's the show. As always, follow us. Go to iTunes. Go to Audio Boom. Go to Stitcher. Whatever else. Whatever you use to listen to podcasts, go to it. Subscribe to us. Rate us. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Everywhere else. We deserve it. Chris Forsberg deserves it. 5-star ratings, people. Please. Please. I'm begging you. But, yeah. We'll be back on Monday with another edition of the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Until then, this is Jay King signing off.